Don Dapsevich. I'm the executive director for the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. We came forward to testify in behalf of this bill. Basically, it supports the statewide planning efforts for alcoholism and drug abuse by decreasing accessibility to drugs and by increasing the available penalties for misuse of drugs, both of which are in our goals. And so our board is in support of this legislation. This drug has been misused. It was first reported about, or first came to our attention about 2.5 years ago, where there was extensive misuse of this drug, and it continues in the state of Florida first, and then later there were subsequent reports of misuse of this drug in California. And it got, of course, the name, the date rape drug, basically because of one of the side effects of the volatile contents of the drug that resulted in memory loss. It became the ultimate Mickey Finn, and was administered unknowingly to young women, and while under the effect of the drug, they were raped. And this has happened more than a few times, and got to be a general concern in those states where it has been used quite extensively. Not appeared, to my knowledge, in Alaska, but as is normally the case with abused drugs, it takes several years before they appear on the scene here, but they inevitably do. So the proactive stance that's being taken in the legislature this year is certainly commendable, and we certainly support it.
Don, we've heard testimony when you were out that this is extremely difficult to trace. In fact, we probably don't have the capability within the state, but that there can be tracks put on it, federal testing, and then back to the state. Do you see a reason that has also been discussed in here that there should be some modification to our laws? I mean, if this bill passes and we list it along with these other horrible drugs, how we would attack the problem if it is on its way here, as we suspect?
Well, certainly this is the first step, but not the only step that would have to be taken. I think that you don't have to reinvent the wheel, that you can use the expertise that's been developed in Florida and California to assist with that. Certainly, there is going to have to be added in our prevention efforts, and that has begun to take place already. With regard to the pharmaceutical applications and testing that would be necessary, I can't speak with a great deal of authority in that area. I do know that they've overcome those problems in Florida.
And I have another question. We hear the street drugs. We hear the fact you can build them in your garage or your backyard. Is this one of those that we can build easily or that we can bring in and it's very inexpensive?
I think that it would not be conducive to being built in the garage. It's basically a derivative of the benzodiazepine family, which are basically like Valium. In fact, Valium is one in that family. So they're certainly available in their generic forms out of country. They're very inexpensive. They're widely used. In fact, this particular drug is very widely used in Europe as a benzodiazepine. But in this country, I don't believe that it's used for anything other than animals at the present time.
Well, the sponsor indicated that, yeah, it was widely used in these countries. And I was just wondering if it is one of those things that you can go to Mexico or someplace and bring back a big sack full and then start to distribute it.
That is certainly it.
Awesome. Any other questions? Thank you, Don. Are there any other questions of the sponsor?
Chairman, if I might, Mr. Luckup with the Ledge Legal is here. He might be able to answer some questions. I didn't understand Representative Berkowitz's question about committee, but I think that Mr. Luckup understood what he was talking about. I'd like a chance to answer it.
Please join us. You know, the drill of identification and all that sort of thing better than I.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jerry Luckup, Legislative Counsel for your Division of Legal Services and the bill drafter for this bill.
Representative Berkowitz, would you mind rephrasing your concern or your...
I've given it to my co-counsel, Representative Croft.
I'd like to do that, too. Representative Croft.
The statutes mention a controlled substance advisory committee. In your opinion, do we have to go through, is there any action that's necessary from the Controlled Substance Advisory Committee for us to make this drug illegal?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Croft, no. Controlled Substance Advisory Committee, well, the legislature established a method and what they hoped was going to be an orderly method for having changes in the schedules brought to their attention so they could then enact legislation that would change the schedules. Controlled Substance Advisory Committee hasn't met for at least 12 years, if it ever met. I've heard conflicting statements from members of the Department of Law about whether or not the committee ever met. And 1171.120 talks about the authority of the committee to recommend changes to the legislature and basically requires the governor to introduce legislation through the Rules Committee upon their recommendation to add or delete or reschedule a drug. That's a method to bring legislation before the legislature. It does not preclude the legislature from acting on its own anytime it wants to, in that one legislature cannot preclude any other legislature from acting. If it is a concern for the committee, we could always put in a provision in the bill that says, notwithstanding AS 1171.120, or we could put in a separate bill section that provides that, you know, this process does not apply.
We could amend the whole thing out.
Or we could amend the whole thing out.
I'd defer to him if he has some more questions on that.
My concern springs from my experiences in the courtroom. Do you know of any of the drugs that have been added to any of these schedules subsequent to 1982? And if there have been any cases brought on the basis of those drugs, if there have been any challenges to the process?
We've added some. I've myself have been the drafter for the addition of cat, methocatinone, and I think I drafted MDMA and a couple others. As far as I know, there's never been a challenge. And the only, and I used to prosecute and used to do defense work too, and I haven't known of any challenges where the legislature themselves may decide to add drugs to the schedules. I remember reading, and I often the limited time I did criminal defense until I started prosecuting, I had an idea of when drugs are added to the schedules by regulation, for example, under the federal system. I always question whether or not there was that authority for the executive branch to add, or whether that authority would be upheld by a court for the executive branch to add drugs to these schedules, and thereby subjecting people to very serious criminal penalties, felonies, for this administrative action they've taken. But I've never heard it reversed the other way, that, you know, that somehow the legislature can't add drugs to the schedules without some administrative or executive branch body acting first.
Representative Porter.
Jerry, I think that I've been in the legislature too when we've added drugs to it, and I don't recall any challenge of that problem. One of the alternatives to the obviously defunct committee is to provide under the list of drugs that are made illegal in Title 11 the same general kind of adoption by reference that exists in the pharmaceutical area that we do for the federal list. Are you up to speed on our ability or lack of ability to be able to do that if there was a will to do it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Porter, it's a way, a number of states take that tact, and a number of states also, well, there's different approaches other states have taken. The problem that I see with us taking that approach is there's an Alaska Supreme Court case that dealt with the legislature's adoption of one of the plumbing codes or electrical codes or something like that a number of years ago. And I haven't looked at this issue for five or six years, back from when I did boards and commissions a long time ago. But the court basically said that we could not adopt this body of regulations that's changed by someone else through time and allow that changing body to govern conduct here in Alaska. So as it's updated, that would be an unconstitutional waiver of the legislature's authority to enact laws, in that we'd be passing on that authority to this other body in some far-off place to enact the laws. We haven't really followed that decision to any great extent, and I just remember it from, you know, some passing interest I had in it at the time. But it does call into question any attempt by us just to adopt wholesale the federal schedules and as they are changed from time to time. We do that in a number of laws. We adopt uniform traffic codes and things like that. The same challenges, I don't think, have been presented to those codes that was presented in this one case where the Alaska Supreme Court rendered this decision that was kind of odd to me.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to take any more time out of the time to get this bill moving, but it may be that Jerry will receive a request to do a little research in that area to see what we might be able to do.
Well, it'll, Mr. Chairman, Representative Porter, it's the kind of thing that will get me off. It's the kind of intellectual exercise until I get a request that I just don't have time to
That's
pursue.
Right. That's right.
Now that it becomes an actual request, then I will have time to pursue it.
Representative Croft.
Thank you. You and Representative Berkowitz have me a little at a disadvantage. I've never done any criminal law. Why? What advantage do we have? Why do we need to make this illegal under the state if it's already legal under the federal?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Croft, is there any particular advantage to it in regards to whether or not the only people that can enforce the possession of this particular drug are only federal agents, then, and if the interest of the state is that this drug is being abused and it should be able to be enforced easily around the state, then there is some state interest, I guess, in, well, I guess the argument, going back, I guess with any drug on the schedules, is there any interest, any state interest in having any drug regulated under state law, I guess? The interest between this drug and any other drug that's on the schedules, I don't see as being any different. The exclusion of this drug, which is on the federal schedules, and the inclusion of virtually every other drug on the state schedules but this drug doesn't necessarily serve any purpose either, I guess.
I mean, it could very well be, and you maybe just answering it diplomatically to avoid saying it, that I don't know what I'm talking about in this area. I appreciate that, but I understand that the state prosecutors can't bring a violation of federal law, but can state police arrest for a violation of federal law?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Croft, it would depend upon their cross-deputization or not. You know, in some states, I imagine there are some Alaska State Troopers that are cross-deputized as DEA agents that are on the drug teams, those regional drug teams, and that might be the only way. But a federal or a state officer has no right to arrest for violation of a federal crime in and of itself.
And what, the way it's currently structured, what would be the punishment range for this crime? I mean, what are we putting up as punishment? Just my brief reading of the statute said that, I don't know what units this comes in, but 25 tablets or less is for possession is a Class A misdemeanor. 25 and over is a Class C felony, and then upwards for distribution into underage. What's the punishment generally, if you know, for a Class C felony? That is somebody who's caught with simple possession of a fair amount of this stuff.
Maybe I can. Can I answer the question?
Yes. Representative Porter also might have. But,
So the sentencing range in a C felony is 0 to 5, depending on there's all kinds of number of factors, the priors, the egregiousness of the conduct, the defendant's susceptibility to rehabilitation, the need to deter others, the need to isolate. It's a range of things, but usually for a first offense, no priors, you would be talking about less than a year. If there was a second offense, you have a presumptive 2, then a presumptive 4 on the third.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Porter, did you have anything on that?
Well, just to the point of who can make an arrest for what, unless the law has changed a little bit. Actually, it's the reverse. A federal officer can't make an arrest for a state charge, but a state officer can make an arrest for a federal city, for state and federal.
You seem to be asking these questions of the committee instead. But then what does this accomplish?
Well, the problem is that you have to present them to the federal district attorney because he's the only one that can prosecute
that case. That I knew.
And therein lies the problem. If APD walked in with a dozen of these cases to the federal prosecutor, he would say, uh-huh, and that would be it.
Representative James.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jerry, one of the things that I have a concern of is, and of course, of my real concern about regulations and what is authorized in regulations, because the legislative body is supposed to be making the laws, but I understand the way we have given the power, not only at the state level but in the federal level, to the administration to do regulations or administrative law, but certainly has different level of seriousness. But wouldn't it be foolish if we were to think that because this had never been challenged before, that the argument that you give, which makes absolutely good sense to me, that if we authorize someone else who's making law out there and we adopt that without going through the political process or the constitutionally mandated process of making a law, that we would put our officers in our courts and spending lots of money for no cause if somebody were to challenge it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative James, you know, that's always something for the legislature to consider. Obviously, the legislature, when they set up this process in 1982, decided that the legislature wanted to retain the authority to add drugs to these schedules. And even though they set up this advisory committee, they did not give that advisory committee the right to reschedule drugs as is done in several other states. They had that opportunity available to them. And in fact, I think that's the procedure that's followed under the Uniform Controlled Substances Act, which was designed as model legislation for all the states to follow. It's always something for this legislature to consider whether or not you want to do that or not. I don't see any potential challenge if the legislature adds the drugs on their own. other than a challenge under this substantive due process clause, which is whether or not the law on itself basically makes any sense. Is there basically any basis at all for the law?
Jerry, this came to our attention through Representative Veazey being outside the state and coming back with this, fortunately. Would there be any merit to, say, periodically adopting the federal code? I mean, it's obviously a problem with the federal government. Would there be any merit to this state saying, okay, every couple of years that we would say we'll adopt the current list of all these various bad actors, drugs out there, and 2 years from now, either through sunset or a note to ourselves or something, that we update that?
Go ahead.
Prefer his answer first.
No,
and then
I'm just getting in line.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
The legislature has attempted to, again, it hasn't been followed, but in 1171-120B, we do have a provision that says if a substance is added as a controlled substance under federal law, the governor shall introduce legislation in accordance with the federal law. So that's a way, every time a drug is added to the schedule, that there is an attempt to make sure the legislature is informed of that and can act on that. Again, that hasn't been followed for a long period of time because there's other things in this that, you know, basically is to draw the attention of the governor to these issues by this committee supposed to meet. Mm-hmm. And obviously it has not done that. You know, there's obviously different methods that could be used to make sure the legislature is informed of these changes, or, you know, by sunsetting the schedules, you could then require the legislature to consider the issue every 2 or 3 years and then can act upon drugs that have been added to the federal schedules or their classification change or they've been withdrawn from the federal schedules. You know, I guess the downside of that is if the legislature, due to various problems at the end of the session or something like that, failed to extend the schedule, you would then have very drastic consequences in the criminal law. And so you would then, you know, I wouldn't recommend that to the legislature, but yet obviously there needs to be some way to inform the legislature of these changes to the schedule so that the legislature can decide what they want to do. And it may be that the legislature decides not to add a particular drug to the schedules. You know, that's always a possibility, and that does occur in some states.
Representative James?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I just can't let this opportunity go by to just kind of reiterate my feelings on this issue, and that is that the legislature is to make law, and we do it in a public process and as outlined in the Constitution. And I really take offense when we try to take shortcuts of any way for us to go through that policy that has been established in our Constitution. And so, you know, for this conversation, we're always trying to take shortcuts to try to figure out how we can do this without doing it. And I really, those kinds of conversations really distress me.
Well, I can certainly appreciate that. My concern is that if it hadn't been for Representative Veazey, we wouldn't know. I still can't pronounce it, but we wouldn't know about this, and so it wouldn't be on our list.
I understand that.
Representative Porter.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. While I certainly don't understand the position of Representative James, I don't totally agree with it, that there isn't some, we're not bound to do things the old traditional way if there is a more efficient way that is just as effective to do it. And I'm not ready to accept the fact that there isn't a way to legally adopt those kinds of things by reference. And I will be asking Jerry to do some research in the area, recognizing that it is his job to tell us all of the potential problems, but just because they are potential problems, we do have to, the potential problem of looking both ways before we cross the street, but we don't want to isolate ourselves on one corner. The only thing that I would add to the discussion as relates to the existing law is I would remind the committee what was going on in this state and in this legislature when that particular law was passed. There was great debate on whether we should or should not recriminalize marijuana. Marijuana was on the federal list, and there were a number of people who publicly stated from the legislature that they didn't want to recriminalize marijuana. And if we were to have adopted that kind of a provision then, guess what? We wouldn't have had to fight for 10 years to get it recriminalized. So there's two sides to every story, and I think that's one that needs a little more look.
Okay, Roper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I make a motion to move this legislation, I'd just like to make a comment that I would like to join the words of Representative Porter in terms of the ability sometimes to adopt by reference certain bodies of laws or regulations on an automatic basis that doesn't do violence to harm to our constitutional mandated legislature to review all legislation. And I would just point out to my colleague from North Pole that someday it's my abiding hope that we can pass a plumbing code out of statute into regulation and not have to have that battle again and again and again. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would move the sponsor substitute for House Bill 69 with attached zero fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Yes, Representative.
I object.
Doesn't object?
For the purposes of debate here, to the zero fiscal notes on this. In the zero fiscal notes, it seems to me, presume there'll never be a prosecution in this case.
Not next year.
So, down through the period here, and it just seems to me that a lot of times the legislature passes laws and expects the police and the prosecutors and the courts and the prisons to accommodate, and we never really make allowances for the fact that when we pass laws, it puts more demands on the police, more demands on the prosecutors, more demands on the courts, more demands on the prisons. And I think that perhaps the fiscal note should reflect that reality.
I think what this is reflecting is that you have a certain number of law enforcement, you have a certain number of courts, and that passing this isn't going to increase those. It'll just perhaps this would be a different. I mean, we've got a backup of litigation. You're more familiar with that than I am. And that if this now becomes an arrest and a prosecution, that it wouldn't actually increase the cost of our government or our officers. I mean, they're already going to be paid, and they're already
there, but the consequences is if you pick up one of these C felonies, then you're not going to be prosecuting some of the A misdemeanors that come through, and that's the reality of what happens. And I just, you know, I came here telling people back home that I'd make this point, and this is, I think, very important to understand.
There is in the budget process an amount of money allocated for statutes that are passed, and if in fact what you're saying is true, then that would fall into that category. As Representative James said, it probably won't be a tremendous load because we have difficulty trying to trace it. But I take what you said very seriously. I agree with you. We pass a lot of laws and we just say zero. Do you maintain your objection? Oh.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to respond to that. Yes, we pass a lot of laws that have zero fiscal note. We don't have to have a fiscal note on everything because sometimes it can be absorbed in the existing budget. And so there isn't always a fiscal note on something. And it's not always assumed that adding one more thing or not or changing something is going to make them have to hire some more people. That's what causes a fiscal note, because there's an addition over and above the existing budget that needs to be spent. So I think to say that every piece of legislation might have some kind of consequence and would have to have a fiscal note is not correct.
Any other discussion? Is the objection maintained? It has been removed. Are there any other objections to the motion? Seeing none, the bill is moved from committee. Hang on, if you will, just a moment while we sign up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Al. We will hear 30.
You're taking the assumption that we were in Philadelphia. Are we?